Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast, hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the health services director at Fort Novosel. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's show, Lieutenant Colonel Holt and the team have a conversation about breast cancer awareness with a very special guest sharing her story. Join us now for A Routine Mammogram Saved My Life, a breast cancer survivor story.
Well, hello again, Fort Novosel, Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt. You're the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and your host for the Lister Health Talks podcast. This is episode 7 of our podcast, and I just want to encourage you, if this is your first time listening in to us, I want to encourage you to subscribe to us or follow us on Spotify or Apple for military-focused folks, if DVIDs or even on YouTube. Those are great places to find our podcasts, and we are committed to providing you relevant material that really stands the test of time. So what that means to you is that you can listen to episode 1, 2, 3, and all the way up to 7 any time of the year, and it has relevant material for you. Of course, we try and align it seasonally for different observations and awarenesses, but it's really important to us that we provide something that's important to you as well and your health as we continue to promote it from Lister Army Health Clinic. Hey, this month is really important to us, but I want to just quickly plug again. Last month, we talked about H2F. That's the Army's Holistic Health and Fitness Program. Had our great guests here from behavioral health as well as physical therapy to speak a little bit on that, those topics. But I want to move into this month's podcast episode that we're going to have a conversation about breast cancer and awareness there. If you didn't know already, each October, the nation recognizes this month as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And to highlight it, it's a really important topic for all of us, right? It's the second most common cancer, I should say, among U.S. women. And throughout the month, you're going to see folks at Lister, you know, wearing pink, and there's a bunch of different awareness opportunities for us. In fact, I want to highlight another one that we have. If you visit the clinic sometime this month, I want to encourage you to go to our breast cancer awareness tree, which is at the front of the clinic as soon as you enter, off to the left there, where you can fill out a pink ribbon in honor of memory of someone you know who has battled breast cancer. Really important topic. And these are just a few ways that we like to convey awareness as well as draw attention to this very important topic. But today's episode, we're also focusing that discussion in a way that's really personal. Personal to one of our staff members here, as it might be for many of you. I want to welcome our guests. First, returning to us, Lieutenant Colonel Thorpe, the Deputy Commander for Nursing and Patient Services. She was, like I said, a previous guest to us, and I appreciate you joining us today, as well as Ms. Marcetta Chancey from our Behavioral Health Department. It seems like we have a long chain of behavioral health professionals that are joining us, but today she is here to join us to talk about her specific story. And so I just want to thank you both for joining us today, and we're going to dive right in. So, Ms. Chancey, I think you've been here for, I believe it's 8 years. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Excellent. And served the entire time in our behavioral health?
Absolutely. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner there.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm sure a lot of people will hear your voice and say, man, I know her. And she's either we've seen her as a kind voice in the halls, or maybe had the benefit of being treated by you as well as your listening ear. But today, our ear is turned to you and your important story. And I just want to thank you up front for being so open to come to the show in such a public forum to tell your important story. But I'm going to pass it over to you to kind of talk to us about what you went through and where we are today.
I just want to start with a routine mammogram saved my life. So in February of 2020, I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. I had my well woman exam with Ms. Delk here at Lister, and she reminded me it was time to get that mammogram. Went in for my mammogram, was called back for another mammogram, had a biopsy. Less than a week later after the biopsy, we came for a follow-up appointment with my PCM, who had the dreaded news of telling me that I had cancer. We were shocked. There's no family history of cancer or pretty much any type of cancer in my family, and then to know that I had breast cancer, it was just a shock. We also have to think of what was going on in February 2020. There was a COVID-19 pandemic. No one knew what was going on in the world at that time. Things were shutting down. People were scared. No one really knew about COVID-19. Mm. So I was about to start chemotherapy for cancer. I didn't know what was going on with work, with anything.
Yeah, it sounds pretty intense. You know, as I think about the pandemic, you know, I think many of our listeners can really relate to that, right? There was a lot of uncertainty during that time, a lot of fear, a lot of, you know, I think we are all were scared, if we're really being honest with ourselves at that time. And then you added, you know, there's an added for you of the uncertainty that of a cancer diagnosis. And
sure.
I'm sure that had to be tough, but it sounds like, you know, you had some help along the way.
Sure. You know, I had a good support system, you know, with my family and my coworkers, but there was a big but there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was only, my first oncology appointment was the only appointment my husband was able to go with me to. After that, I was on my own. I would have my chemotherapy treatments that would last 6 to 8 hours long. I had 18 of those treatments. My husband would sit in the truck in the parking lot of the treatment center waiting for me while I was in my treatments. All of my appointments, my scans, all that stuff, he would just wait outside for me. I was on my own.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty tough time. Also, you know, I worried about my patients. Luckily, I was able to be set up to do work from home during that time. But I was pretty much at home for a good 9 months. I didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I got to go back to work, and this was after I had chemotherapy, a double mastectomy. I was able to go back to work. I did radiation while I was still at work, so I would schedule that for after work hours. Did 6 weeks of that, 5 days a week for 6 weeks. When that was done, I had 6 months of oral chemotherapy. Finally finished treatment in August of 2021, so I'm 2 years in remission now. It was a tough road, but luckily I had a lot of support along the way. But you know, you have to remember that I had excellent support from Lister. You know, I am a TRICARE beneficiary. I had my PCM that put in all those referrals for me. I had my behavioral health team that helped me as I was seeing patients from home, and I had my family support as well. But I can't emphasize enough that, you know, Ms. Delk reminded me, hey, get that mammogram. That's what really, you know, saved my life. I can't thank her enough as well. You know, there's so many people along the way that did so much for me, and they continue to do, because, you know, with a cancer diagnosis, once you're done with treatment, you're not done. I still have to go to my oncologist every 6 months. I still have a port. I still have a lot of residuals from that cancer treatment. So it's been a tough road, but I'm tougher.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. I can attest to that just based off your story. I think, wow, what amazing. And again, getting back to this dynamic of going through this diagnosis and the treatment in the midst of the pandemic, those can be two very, very lonely areas to be in, right?
Sure.
You know, an unprecedented pandemic where I think we all had some degree of loneliness, and then a cancer diagnosis, which can seem lonely in and of itself. There's probably times where you are, like you mentioned, you had to go to your appointments by yourself oftentimes, or your husband was at least in the parking lot. But the loneliness was abbreviated because there was people. And there's
sure.
people to support you.
That's right. And that support system is so important.
Well, Ms. Chansey, I just want to thank you for sharing your story with us today, and that you are a fighter in so many ways. And I got to hand it to you. It is just inspiring for so many of our listeners, I'm sure, at least it is for me. This is also a good reminder that, you know, that we're all susceptible, that no one is immune to this difficult and challenging diagnosis. There are some that certainly by the evidence that we have a little bit higher risk, but no one is immune to it, as you've so eloquently put it in your story. So again, I can't thank you for your courage in this way, the energy that you bring, the energy that you continue to bring really to our entire team. It is inspiring for us, and I just want to thank you again for everything that you bring to the clinic, but really our whole community here. So thanks again for sharing your story.
Don't be afraid to ask for help, whether it's cancer, a medical illness, just any kind of mental health issue. You know, if you need somebody to come over and clean your house, ask them. If you need somebody to help, you know, wash your dishes or do the laundry, just ask for help. There's somebody out there that's going to be willing to help you.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think, you know, as I look at how behavioral health is viewed these days, there's higher demand. I think there's no argument to that. And, you know, there's a vast array of hypotheses on why that might be. But I think the benefit is really where we get to look forward to it. And we realize that we as human beings just need each other. And it might be through a cancer diagnosis. It might be through a pandemic. For you, Ms. Chansey, it was both. But it's incredible to really think about our recognition of that need, really more broadly. Well, I just can't thank you enough for bringing this to us, and there's so much courage along this entire pathway that you've gone through to get us to this point. But also to come and be able to brief and give a brief discussion on your story, that in of itself has its own degree of courage. So I want to thank you again for sharing this with the audience. Lieutenant Colonel Thorpe, I want to pass over to you regarding early detection. I understand there's been some changes.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. So as of May of 2023, the guidelines did change a little bit. And so now females at the age of 40 are recommended to have a mammogram, and at least every 2 years, if not every year. And so as Ms. Chansey had said, you know, she had an interval change in just that year time frame. So it is a good discussion to have with your provider, whether it is a every year mammogram or every 2 year mammogram.
It's 40 now. What was it before?
It was 45.
Wow. Is there other things that we need to be thinking about in terms of early detection, either updates to evidence or other aspects?
I think other things to consider is doing that self-breast exam. I think females, we know how things feel, and we know if something feels different. And so just bringing that, you know, not letting things fester, but bringing that to your provider as soon as possible so your provider can do that additional examination and make the determination whether an additional mammogram is warranted at that time. And then knowing your family history. As Ms. Chansey said, she's a nurse practitioner. She knows that family history is a strong correlation, but not causation, for breast cancer. So if you have a family member, that first degree family member that has had a specific type of cancer, especially under the age of 50, delving into that family history with your provider so they can kind of look at what we call genetic red flags and maybe making that determination that a mammogram may be recommended earlier than the age of 40.
That's super helpful, and I appreciate you giving us kind of an update on that. A lot to digest here from both the story from Ms. Chansey as well as the updated guidance from Lieutenant Colonel Thorpe. But, you know, I encourage our listeners, you know, now's the time to have a good discussion about that, regardless of what time of where you are in your life, but also with your family members. But I do want to thank you both for joining us today. I do like to pass it back around the room for a final thoughts, if there's anything else that you'd like to talk about or highlight for us on this important topic. Ms. Chansey, over to you first.
Sure. You know, I just wanted to say, you know, a cancer diagnosis is, you know, it's pretty scary. It can affect your emotional health, your family's emotional health. So, you know, make sure you find that support system, schedule self-care. If you notice changes in your mood, if you notice things like depression, don't be afraid to ask for help. There's people in behavioral health. There's other resources out there. Get the help you need if you notice any changes like that, because there's plenty of resources out there.
Yeah, there is hope, it sounds like, for sure. Thank you so much. Lieutenant Colonel Thorpe, how about you?
I know we've talked a lot about prevention and early detection, and I think overall it's just being cognizant of the other interventions we can do. So getting that routine cholesterol test done, making sure you don't have high blood pressure, getting your blood pressure checked, and having those routine tests for females, having those routine pap smears helps detect that risk of cancer before it even comes.
Mm. Well, I do want to thank you both again for joining us today. Really important topic, very important time of the year, but we don't have to just think about it now. I think some of the big things that I have as takeaways is that early detection piece. Talk with your providers, and then continue to build relationships with the people around you to the point where you can ask those hard questions and encourage folks to go to get checked out, and particularly if they're in that specific risk category or the recommended category to get checked. You know, being a vocal advocate early in detection for those around you and for yourself, it's incredibly vital fight against breast cancer. Well, again, Ms. Chansey, I cannot thank you enough for coming in and joining us today, sharing your story. It's a lot, takes a lot of courage first to go through what you've gone through, but now to share it with the world in this very important way. So thank you for joining us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Thorpe, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Looking forward to the next opportunity.
Absolutely.
A wealth of knowledge, and I know our listeners don't see the smiles on both of your faces, but it's a pleasure having you both here. Hey, I want you to encourage everybody to join us again next month. Have a host of lots of material to talk about, but you know, want to make sure that you're encourage you in every single way to promote your own health. It's an important topic for us, and it's an important topic for you. We just love that you're listening in to us here on the Lister Health Talks podcast. Again, if you're just joining us, I encourage you to listen to us on Spotify, on Apple, DVids, or YouTube. You can also encourage you to follow our Facebook for a lot of important and good material. And again, I just can't thank you enough for listening into the Lister Health Podcast. Hey, this is Lieutenant Colonel Holt signing off again, reminding you that your healthiest chapter is ahead, and the only way is forward.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic's Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. Join us in November as the team discusses tobacco cessation. Stay healthy, Fort Novosel.